We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz.
Our markets are only free when there are basic safeguards that prevent abuse, that check excesses, that ensure that it is more profitable to play by the rules than to game the system. And that is what the reforms we've been proposing are designed to achieve.
President pushing financial reform this week at Cooper Union in New York City. Joining me, as he does most weekends, is national correspondent for The Atlantic, James Fallows. Jim, good to have you.
Thank you, Guy. Nice to be here.
In that speech we just heard a clip from, the president was speaking to the titans of industry, even had the executives from Goldman Sachs in the audience. Does it matter whether or not he can win over Wall Street? I mean, does he need their support to introduce new regulations, new financial regulations?
Operationally, he probably will not need it. He could probably get a reform bill through the Democratic-dominated Congress. Certainly, he would like it, because the default mode of argument on any issue for President Obama is to find the reasonable middle ground where people from different vantage points can agree. And it's interesting to contrast this with the way that one of his predecessors, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he was running for re-election in 1936, how he talked about his war with the financial industry for financial reform of those times. In a famous speech, he said, "Never before in all our history have these four of finance been so united against one candidate as they stand today. They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred."
He wore it as a badge of honor.
Yes, and that's something it would be very hard to imagine this coming from Barack Obama's lips at the podium.
Senate Republicans are threatening to block debate over a Democratic-sponsored bill floating around the Senate that would create a whole new set of rules for Wall Street. I mean, given the sort of the populist appeal of what Democrats are pushing for, can Republicans realistically stop it?
Probably a head-to-head showdown in the Senate, we're getting the famous 60 votes to get a filibuster, probably would be more difficult for the Republicans to block this time than it was in some of the previous cases, just because the public opinion, again, seems to be more on the president's side. What's so striking here, again, is that just as this is a test of the president's ability to sort of argue one side of an issue hard versus looking for the common ground, it's a test of the Republicans' willingness to stay on their one side of the case, where it seems as if public opinion is so strongly against them on this one.
And Jim, the Republicans are framing their opposition to this in a very deliberate way.
Yes, they've consistently said this is yet another bailout for the financial industry, which is trying rhetorically and politically to position themselves on the sort of side of those who feel oppressed by the financial industry. Factually, there's not much merit to what they're saying.
Jim, I'm curious about how Goldman Sachs and its executives are now sort of being cast as the latest villains. This coming week, the Senate subcommittee will grill several current and former Goldman executives about the company's role in the 2008 financial meltdown. What do you make of this? I mean, does this have staying power, or is it just similar to the car executives and the other bank chiefs and others?
Sure. There's a rotating cast of big CEO suspects whenever something goes wrong. We can think of probably the car executives as the most recent case, and they made the mistake of flying in their private jets when they're coming to ask for public money and all the rest. But I think this case has the potential to be more lasting, more resonant, more of a sort of hinge in public opinion, because with the car makers, they sort of made a mistake in PR, but the behavior of these current car makers was not really germane to the 40-year difficulties of the car industry and heavy manufacturing in the U.S. Whereas in the case of the financial industry now, what specifically
Goldman Sachs.
And Goldman Sachs in particular, the particular case against them, again as shown by some memos released only today by a congressional investigating committee, is that they knew what they were doing, and as opposed to this fiduciary duty of sort of acting as stewards for the economy, stewards for investors, they were just acting in a way of not looking out for their customers' best interests, of knowing they were shortchanging people.
That's James Fallows of The Atlantic. You can read his blog at jamesfallows.com. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you, Guy.